we're going to spend our free time doing something, a lot of people might hesitate to choose doing something we've already done before, like going to watch the same movie or taking a walk on the same path as the day before, or a trip to a place we've been before. But research by our next guest shows that repeat experiences are underrated. They can be just as enjoyable, if not more so, than entirely new experiences. And there could be some important lessons in there for today's pandemic world. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been finding some joy in re-watching movies or re-reading books? Have you been able to find some peace in a routine, even though it's a lot of the same? What is a repeat experience, past or present, that you've enjoyed? Have you ever gone to see the same movie at a theater more than once when we saw movies in theaters? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Ed O'Brien is an experimental social psychologist and associate professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Ed, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, thank you so much for having me.
Well, I think for some people, and as I understand it, even some people in the psychological world, we look down on repeat experiences. We think, that initial novelty burst wears off and there's diminishing returns over time. You kind of view that idea skeptically. Why?
Well, that is one of the reasons I got interested in this topic. As a psychologist, if you look into the literature to find out, you know, how can I boost my happiness? How can I enjoy my time? Overwhelmingly, the advice you're going to get is seek out novelty, right? Variety is the spice of life. And I've struggled to bridge that, academically looking into the literature, with just noticing everyday behaviors. People often repeat things. They rewatch the same shows and movies, re-listen to the same songs. We hang art on the walls, the same art for years and years and years. And we don't always kind of get sick of those things. So that kind of launched my interest into studying this in the lab. And it turns out that many, many repeat experiences across different kinds of activities are indeed pretty enjoyable, and much more enjoyable than we think when we're merely imagining them in our minds.
You had published some research on this about a year ago, so pre-COVID. Does it stand out to you as maybe even more important to examine these repeat experiences during this pandemic time?
It is a really important time for so many reasons. And I do think about, if again, that wisdom is seek out variety, seek out novelty. Well, that's really hard for all of us these days to just go do something new. We can't do something new. We can't just leave our house and go to a new city or a new restaurant or whatever the case may be. So I do think about this research more in today's context, right? If the message of our findings, which does seem to be the message so far over the past year or so of research, well, is that repeat experiences do provide a lot of meaning and value and stimulation and enjoyment. I think it is important for people to know that when they're stuck inside with the same old things at their disposal, to fight their intuitions that there's nothing to do here, that they can't spend their time in a valuable way. You can spend your time in a valuable way by revisiting the things that you've already been to.
And I imagine people might have a gut reaction to whether they like new stuff or repeat experiences, and we could think about it, but how do you start to study it as a psychologist?
It's interesting. I mean, we start small and then kind of go bigger and broader. So starting small in the lab, we kind of bring people in back when there was an in-person lab before COVID shutdowns, to experience some activity that we give them. We have them, watch a film or play a video game or some type of exciting activity. And after they experience this thing once, then we ask them to report their imagination. So what's going to happen if you watch this again or play this again? Tell us what you're picturing, and they'll rate the experience, they'll rate their imagination. And then based on random assignment, we have some participants actually go through that experience again. So we have them in the lab rewatch that movie or replay that game, whatever the case may be. And then they rate the actual experience. So we can compare people's predicted enjoyment, predicted stimulation, to their actual reports of stimulation if they went through that experience themselves. And we see over and over and over again that people predict strong decline. So, hey, I enjoyed that movie the first time, but why do I have to sit around watching this movie again? I just saw it. But if you actually kind of force people to watch the same movie, they report a few interesting things. Number one, it's actually quite enjoyable, more enjoyable than they think. And number two, this is largely because we notice new things in the moment of repetition. So our imaginations are really bad at imagining the development of new information, right? When you're picturing what's it going to be like to rewatch the movie? Well, by definition, you play in your head the scenes that you can remember. And by definition, you can't bring to mind the scenes that you forget because you forgot them. So what happens when you actually sit down to watch the movie? Well, now all of those forgotten details are right in front of you. You're actually watching those things in real time. And because of that discovery process, we think that's a major reason why repetition proves to be more enjoyable than we think.
We've got a caller on this topic at 800-642-1234. Artemis is with us in Appleton. Artemis, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. When I tuned in and heard you were talking about this, it reminded me of some previous research that I've read that supposedly people enjoy a movie or a book more if they know the ending ahead of time, which is kind of counterintuitive to what a lot of people think. And I just thought that that sort of jived in with what you were discussing.
Artemis, thanks for that call. And at first I think, oh no, spoilers ruin things. And then I think, you know, people still watch Shakespeare, and we know Macbeth isn't going to say, you know what, let's not kill all these people, but they still enjoy it. So there's something there, isn't there, Ed?
Yeah, Artemis, I know exactly the research you're talking about. It's a great title of the paper. It's called Story Spoilers Don't Spoil Stories. and it's exactly in line with a lot of the work coming out of my lab. I mean, one reason why we think that is probably the case is because, all right, now you know the ending to the story, but now that gives you new information to play with at scene one, at scene two, at scene three, right? Now you can track the moves. If you know the twist, it's kind of fun to see how it's being built towards that you didn't know beforehand. So again, it comes back to this discovery of new information, even if we know the ending to something.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about the benefits, the joys of repeating good experiences, going to the same place again, or reading the same book, watching the same movie, what have you. Ed O'Brien is with us, social psychologist at the University of Chicago. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Marcus is with us in Green Bay. Hi, Marcus.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, in the olden days, a while back, I had this golden rule where I'd never watch movies more than once. I don't know why, because I could sit still and pretty much watch the whole movie. Now, I'm disabled, so I spent a lot of time sitting, you know, reading, watching TV. I did not have cable. I decided, well, I can afford it, so I recently got cable. And there's a channel on regular TV where they show old Westerns. Before cable, I would watch these. And, oh, I saw that one, but I would notice new things. The background, they filmed them in beautiful areas in the Southwest, and genuine antiques in the bar, and I'd notice this stuff, the background, and some of them were well-written. And then I got cable, and now I have choices like HBO, Showtime, and other choices. So when I see these movies on HBO, I'm kind of distracted. I get up, and I miss a part. I don't know how to hit pause. It doesn't work. But anyway, I'll watch that movie again and notice new things, and it just brings me a great deal of pleasure. Like I said, you know, with COVID, you can't get out, blah, blah, blah. So I'm adapting. You know, by golly, I spent a lot of time in front of the TV. I can afford cable. So that's one of the things I did for myself, and it's turning out really well. You know, I'm feeling pretty good as far as that goes. You know, I miss the grandchildren and all that, but that's about it. Okay?
Marcus, thank you so much, and that fits right in with what you're talking about, Eddie's layering up his enjoyment each time he watches that same movie.
Yeah, Marcus, totally resonating with the research there. I mean, another interesting thing that Marcus brought up is, right, thinking about the overwhelming set of novel options, right? If you subscribe to Netflix or something like that, right, you can spend hours just flipping through, what am I going to watch tonight? And that's another kind of cost that economists and other types of researchers would want you to build into your decision, such that, you know, is it really worth your time to spend 2 hours trying to find something new rather than just immediately settling on an old favorite that you know you're going to enjoy, right? That ought to be incorporated in our decisions in a way that Marcus sounds like he's getting doing a really nice job there.
Thanks a lot for that call, Marcus. We got lots of callers here. We're talking about their repeat experiences. Terry is with us in Genoa. Terry, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about, Terry?
I'm really excited to hear this topic because I am a rereader, and my family and friends have always been astounded at how I can read the same book. I mean, not once, twice. I read the same books over and over every year. And for me, the same book, it's like sitting down with an old friend. It's like a favorite blanket and a cup of hot cocoa. It's like a favorite teddy bear. It's familiar. It's comforting. You know, Neil Gaiman's American Gods, I read that book at least once a year, every year.
Cool. Terry, thank you so much for sharing that. I was going to ask you to name some names, and you did. Yeah, my dad does that with The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings as well. And Ed, she said it was like curling up with an old friend with the characters in these books.
That's really, really well said. I mean, one thing that's coming out of our recent work, so this is some unpublished work, but we're following up on the original paper that was mentioned here. We find that meaning is an enormous driver of these kinds of decisions. So one thing that repeat experiences give us that a new and exciting option doesn't necessarily give us is this sense of personal meaning. It's kind of important to us in our identities, and we're kind of building into, this is part of who I am, and we're signaling that to ourselves every time we go back to that old favorite. And again, that's a source of utility, that's a source of enjoyment that the new and exciting just simply can't offer us.
We pick up our talk now with Ed O'Brien, social psychologist at the University of Chicago, sharing his research about repeat experiences and why we enjoy them, the good ones anyway, more than we think we do in many cases. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go back to your calls now. Tim is with us in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hello. Quite often on our long car rides down through Chicago, we will... pop on a movie. I know that sounds crazy, but I'll hand my phone to somebody in the back seat and I'll listen to a movie that I've watched 4, 5, 30 times in my life. And it's like I can see exactly what's happening on the screen, even though I can't see the phone at all.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're not watching, Tim, but thank you so much for sharing that familiarity there, Ed, and he doesn't need to pay full attention to enjoy it, it sounds like.
Yeah, and that taps into kind of, I mentioned this earlier, we have kind of dual mechanisms of what explains why repeat experiences often are so enjoyable. One is this idea of discovery. So if we sit down to watch that movie again, we're noticing new things. But another one has to do with, again, the sense of meaning and identity. There's something powerful to the familiar, that just the mere fact that you can start to rehearse those lines and you don't even need to see the movie to understand what's going on. There's a sense of fluency there. There's a sense of familiarity there that psychologists have also cited as being a great source of pleasure for us. So I think that's going into Tim's comment for sure, this idea of the pleasures of familiarity.
Tim, thanks for the call. We heard from Val on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Val writes, I walk along my creek every day. Each day brings new delights and visuals, and the fresh air is awesome too. But I like that idea. It is a repeat experience, but things change over time and our perspective changes over time. In some ways, those repeat experiences are new experiences, aren't they, Ed?
It's kind of the old, you cannot step into the same river twice kind of idea there, right? So even when, you might be noticing new information in the movie, scenes you've forgotten, something like that, just the mere fact that you're perceiving it differently, you have a different interpretation now, maybe you're a little bit, older and a different mindset or different circumstances, suddenly you're seeing that old favorite, the route that you take in a little different way, right? Every time we experience it is a little bit different on so many of those dimensions.
Go back to our callers now. Mike is with us in Eau Claire. Mike, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I really like the really dense books with a lot of characters where it's really tough to pick everything up on the first reading, so this is perfect. I was thinking of the book Suchry by Cormac McCarthy. I mean, I'm probably on, I'll listen to that on audiobook, and I mean, it probably took me, until the sixth listening at least.
Wow.
Until I finally figured out what the rag picker's first name was, and same with the Silth, I can't pronounce that, the Silmarillion by J.R. Tolkien.
Ooh, that's dense.
There's
yeah,
so many names. That's a that's a perfect book to just revisit, especially on audiobook.
Interesting, Mike. So that's another motivation there, Ed, to do repeat experiences, starting off with something dense and knowing you may not catch everything on the first 1 or 5 reads or listens.
Yeah, I love that comment from Mike because it's speaking to something I'm researching in the lab now, which is it's really hard for us to tell in advance what kinds of stimuli will be complex, like a giant Lord of the Rings novel. But you kind of know there's going to be a lot of information there. Versus what kinds of stimuli are more simple that are not worth your time to repeat. It's actually really hard for us to determine beforehand, right? If you try out a new Netflix show tonight and you thought it was fine, but it's not obvious that it's a Lord of the Rings type density, should you repeat it or not? And that's a challenging question that we're trying to figure out. The wisdom so far from our research is that at the very least, you should try to fight your intuition to immediately never go back to it, right? Our minds are built to tell us that we've seen all there is to see for all kinds of stimuli, even when they might be truly complex. So if you give something one more shot, right, maybe it proves to be simple and then you can cut ties, but we have to remember to give it one more shot before calling it quits.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Ed O'Brien from the University of Chicago, looking at his psychological research on repeat experiences, doing the same thing, reading a book, going to a place, what have you, and why it's more fun, more fulfilling than we might think. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Charlene is with us in Eau Claire County. Charlene, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about, Charlene?
Oh, I'm thrilled with this topic. In general, I don't like to watch movies again, but there are a few that would stand out, like Secretariat, or I go to books. And I think one of the things that draws me to John Sanford is his serializing of several characters and the ongoing characters that come back through each of the books. Lucas Davenport, and then the other one. The same with Clive Cussler when he does his serialization. So there's the familiarity there. But generally, my husband and I got through the election and through the earlier part of the pandemic by rewatching West Wing and going all the way back and watching it sequentially. And that just gave us an enjoyable hour's escape on many days.
Charlene, thanks so much for sharing that with us. So in this case, with the pandemic in particular, Ed, that familiar TV show and going back and, I guess, watching the whole thing, which there's a lot of West Wing, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, thank you, Charlene. That's West Wing's a great example of something that, you know, as you go about your everyday life, you kind of just encoded it as, oh, yeah, I watched the West Wing back in the day, 10 years ago, whatever the case may be. I don't need to watch it again. And maybe something like the pandemic, now we're stuck inside much more than we were before, forces us to kind of think more deeply about what we thought we knew before. So again, West Wing, even though you've seen it, well, you've probably forgotten a whole lot. Or again, now you're in a different life stage and you can perceive it through a different lens if you watch it today than how you perceived it 10, 15 years ago. There's ample of those examples on Netflix and other outlets. Right? Fight the intuition. Oh yeah, been there, done that. Well, maybe if you give it another chance from today's light, it might be just as enjoyable as something new and exciting.
Interesting. Thanks for the call. Polly joins us now in Wauwatosa. Polly, hello.
Yes, I'm about to create a 3-day experience that I've never had before. And based on the pandemic and our family believes, you know, that we should keep each other safe and not get together. So while I was at the grocery store today, I decided while I'm home alone, I'm 82 years old, I am going to have 3 Thanksgiving days in a row, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I think that repeat will stick in my mind and my family's mind for a long time.
Polly, thank you for sharing that. I hope it is enjoyable, your 3 days of Thanksgiving. That sounds great. And that makes me think, Ed, you know, we do a similar Thanksgiving, a lot of the traditions again and again, year after year. That might speak to the power of repeat experiences.
Yeah, you think rituals and other traditions that people have, right? Tapping into that psychology of meaning, I think that's probably a huge one in this example. Right? There's something extra special about, I like this idea of kind of Thanksgiving spread across 3 days. But if you did 3 different kinds of events in a row for 3 days, I think that would hit your memory in a different way. It would leave a different note as compared to doing, you know, you frame it as Thanksgiving 3 times in a row, right? That's going to leave a really powerful, personally meaningful memory that I agree will probably, you know, stick with you, become a tradition for years to come.
Happy Thanksgiving cubed to you, Polly. In our last few moments, Ed, is there something that you have found yourself going back to, maybe influenced in part by your research?
Interesting question. I mean, I do keep this research top of mind in my own everyday life. It's most salient to me when I catch myself looking for something new, because you realize, I mean, if you just do the calculus, how many hours you spend to try to find, you know, a new delivery place to get from or a new TV show to watch. And that's just a lot of investment for you. And I try to cut myself off, you know, maybe more so now than I did before I started this research, to realize, wait a second, if I have an old favorite that I already know I love and cherish, let's just jump right to that and start enjoying it rather than spending all night on a Google search.
Fantastic. Ed, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rob.
That's Ed O'Brien, an experimental social psychologist and associate professor of behavioral science at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. He joined us for a look at his research that shows we often overlook repeat experiences that can actually be more enjoyable than trying something brand new.